I want to thank all of our visitors for joining us today. I pray that you can be blessed with us. This morning, I'd like to, if we could all stand together and we could pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're gathered here this morning with thankfulness, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the warnings and the exhortation we heard so far, Father. Thank you for the singing of the saints and all the families that are here. Lord, we count it as a precious opportunity to be here, Father, and I pray you'd help us to be reverent amongst the saints in the house of the Lord. And I do pray, Father, for further revelation from you, Lord, today. I ask you, Lord, to speak to each of us through your word, by your spirit. I pray, Father, for everyone that's here, Lord, that you would, I know there's a, from our perspective, Lord, a very complex, different set of needs amongst each family, each person that's here today. Everyone here is on a journey. Everyone here has a story, Lord, and I know that you love each one of them, Lord. I thank you for that, Father. I pray, Lord, you just speak to our hearts and give us wisdom today and help us to feed from your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, I was asked to share a message about the coming of the only begotten Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And there are many, many, many different ideas about that in the world. And many people have turned it into something that it's not. There's a lot of paganism, a lot of pagan customs and traditions accompany this. The Bible doesn't even say that we should remember. Jesus said to remember, do this in remembrance of me in regards to his death and resurrection. And but the world has made something of his birth that many that celebrate it do not live for him. They do not live for the risen Jesus Christ. Thank you. And however, Jesus still was born in a manger. He still came to this earth to a virgin born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and it is still something that, as we push back on the Christmas trees and we push back on the a lot of the commercialization of this time of year, we push back on the pagan origins. Yet what do we believe? We should be known for what we believe, not just what we're against. Jesus did come. He was born in a manger some 2,000 years ago. And I'd like to begin with a principle in God's word where we see the prophetic value of God's word. The Bible's prophetic testimony sets it apart from every other book. There's no other book that has the prophetic testimony that the Bible has. And I'd like to turn our attention to a verse in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. And you don't have to turn there. But Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, says this: "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So here we see in the Bible, God tells us the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. All through the Old Testament, he declared a redeemer. We were singing that song this morning, Silent Night, and I thought of one of those lines as a title for the message today: "The Dawn of Redeeming Grace." I love that line: "The Dawn of Redeeming Grace." When Jesus was ushered in quietly, in humility, and almost no one knew it, almost everyone missed it. But yet God had told the end from the beginning. God had told what was going to happen clearly through the prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says this: "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so we speak these things about a baby that was born in a manger because when all of that became part of history, and when all of that transpired, after all of that, there is much more to the story. There is much more to the testimony of God's word pertaining to his will for our lives. And may this give us a glimpse of how he thinks and how he operates, and so that we can take courage when we read the whole Bible and read things that are hard to read. And when we think of those things that require death to self, and when we think of those things that require sacrifice in our lives, that we take courage that God is still on his throne. And I'd like to read several verses here. You don't have to turn to all these, but just to show the surety of the Word of God, the surety that he has been in control. When you read down through the years, the confusing, sometimes sad story of the record of God's people. And way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, was where we first read, where God told Adam and Eve, "The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There we see a glimpse of someone that is going to come on the scene and deal a death blow to sin and hell and death and the grave. And that's where God began this journey. He began this journey, Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8. We read where Abraham is tested by asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. And when Isaac asked Abraham, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham prophetically said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And God did. It took a while. And I've wondered, why so long? Why so long? Why did he come in such an obscure way? Why did it take so long? Why did it take so long? We want to talk about a few of those things. And down through the years, God, he prophesied that through Isaiah, that he would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 7, therefore, verse 14, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." There was a prophecy in Micah chapter 2 that reads like this. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, rather. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." And that is the prophecy that when Herod asked the wise men and those men that he gathered to him, "Where is this ruler supposed to be born?" And I don't remember who was there with him, but they told him Bethlehem, because Micah wrote it. Micah said, "He's coming out of Bethlehem." So he sent those wise men to Bethlehem, and he sent people to find this child. And that's what we heard about this morning, where the decree went out that everyone 2 years old and under should be killed. We read about that he's going to be a prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken," Moses said. "Unto him ye shall hearken." This was maybe 1,000 years. That's a long time. Maybe 1,000 years before Jesus came. That's a long time. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, we read about that he will be called the Son of God. Psalm chapter 2. "I will declare," verse 7, Psalm 2, 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." He's referring to the Son of God. Let's take heart here. 1,000 years, or maybe, I don't know, some of these psalms and some of these words from the prophets were anywhere from 600, 700 years to 1,000 years. Maybe Micah was a little earlier, or not so long. But he knew what he was doing. And today, he still knows what he's doing, and he is in control. Isaiah 35, he prophesied there that he's going to do miracles. Isaiah 35, verse 4 through 6. Isaiah 35, verse 4 through 6. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." And, you know, we read when John the Baptist was imprisoned, and he sent people to ask Jesus, you know, if he's the one. And Jesus told John's disciples, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So today, the author of this word said, I don't change. We're still dealing with the same God. And let us take heart today. The authenticity and the accuracy and the power of the word. The word that said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there, you know, let the earth come out of the sea. Let there be plants and animals. And that same word is the word that instructs our lives today. And we can take courage. It was prophesied that he would do miracles, and Jesus reminded John of that. He could have told him a lot of things. He could have told John that the things that he said after his disciples left. After John's disciples left and went back to prison to tell him what Jesus said, Jesus told his own disciples that that John was a great man. Among them that are born of women, there hath none risen greater than John the Baptist. You know, I often wonder, why didn't he tell his disciples that? But he wants each of us to dig into his word and be convinced in our hearts that the record of God is true. He also prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 7, that he would be silent before his accusers. Many of you probably could quote that verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And the men who were very acquainted with these verses observed that with their own eyes, and they missed him. Let us not miss the power of Jesus Christ today, who came for us. There's many, many other prophecies that I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll just maybe read one more. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, this is a very often quoted verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that is the prophecy of God's word that told the end from the beginning. And today he can tell each one of us the end from the beginning. He can tell us that. And he gives us instructions just to do his will. He gives us his spirit that we can commune with him. We can fellowship with him, and he can help us. He gives us brothers that speak into our lives. He gives us much that we can have advantage from, we can prosper with. And these words of in the scriptures and the word of the Holy Spirit and the counsel of godly brethren, those are compatible with the end of my life, of God's will. The end that he can tell me from the beginning. And yet he's given us a free will. Yet he's given us the ability to choose, but he even knows what choices we'll make. And that's hard for us to comprehend. We cannot understand that. But so it is with a God who can tell the end from the beginning. And with that, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to just read the account there of Jesus Christ. Various other gospel writers had different focuses as they wrote the gospel. Luke said that he's writing to Theophilus, and he just wanted to give him an accurate declaration of those things. In verse 1, which are most surely believed among us, he just wanted to give him an accurate account of what happened. And verse 2, Luke 1, verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This was John the Baptist. They apparently had been praying for a baby. And this angel came to him, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, of the and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel, answering him, said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these things, to show thee these things. No. And to show thee these glad tidings. And we can read of Gabriel several times in the scriptures. We can read about Gabriel and Daniel, and Gabriel appears here, and then to Mary. There's two angels are mentioned in the scriptures. It's Gabriel and Michael, and Michael when you read about Michael, you read about warfare in Daniel and in Jude and in Revelation. But Gabriel is a messenger of the Lord to bring glad tidings, to bring encouragement. He brought encouragement to Daniel. And he brought encouragement and good news to Zacharias and Elizabeth. But Zacharias didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. He said, how is this going to be? And because he didn't believe him, in verse 20, Gabriel said, And behold, thou shalt be dumb. That means you will not be able to talk, and not able to speak unto the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. That was a reproach of pretty major proportions among a woman, especially in those days when they were. It is a joy for most women to enter into motherhood. But in the days of the Bible, a barren woman, they called it a reproach on them. So it was a exciting day for them. Verse 26 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And most of you know what it means that they were espoused. But there might be children here that don't know what that means, that Mary and Joseph were espoused. And in Matthew, it calls Joseph her husband, but that's because the espousal, that betrothal period, was as binding as marriage, but they were not yet living together. The espousal is where a man and a woman and their fathers met, and they agreed that two people would marry. And I don't know how much the young people had input into that. In Israel, maybe some of you have some knowledge of that. But Joseph and Mary, at some point, their dads had gotten together, and Joseph's father had probably paid Mary's father what they called a dowry, a price, and that is a type today of our place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where we are espoused to Christ. God the Father paid a price for us, is what the Bible says. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ, where he died so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can come to him and we can have fellowship with him. And most importantly, be recipients and partakers of his grace and of his nature, and live pleasing and honorably before him. But this virgin was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, but they were not married, but they were espoused together. They were scheduled to be married. So there was no, they were not living together. And so this was, she was not expected to be having a baby. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Hail, the word hail in the scriptures means a greeting with enthusiastic approval. So God looked all over. He had a special job, a special thing that he needed from a very virtuous young lady, and he found her in Mary. He came to Mary, and this angel said, Hail, thou art highly favored. And in Jesus Christ today, young ladies, in Jesus Christ, if Gabriel came to you today, and you're walking with God, that's what he would tell you. He would say, Hail, thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women, not just young ladies, but ladies of all age. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was kind of like Zacharias. She doubted, how can this possibly be? And it's been said, why was Mary not struck dumb like Zacharias? Because she basically said the same thing. She had the same level of doubt. And the answer to that is because Zacharias had an example of Abraham and Sarah that it happened before. Mary didn't have an example. Mary never, she'd never heard of a virgin that wasn't living with a man have a baby. She'd never heard of that was living in purity. And so that's why maybe Elizabeth didn't receive the same reproach as Zacharias did upon her doubt of the angel Gabriel's announcement. And we read in Luke chapter 12 that where much is given, more is required, basically paraphrasing what Jesus said. Where much is given, more is required. And when we have the example of Jesus Christ in our lives, Jesus showed us he was tempted in all points, and he was an overcomer. And we have that example today, and we are accountable to that. We are made more accountable as we get older and learn more. We are made more accountable to the Lord. More is expected of us than when we're with less experience. But going on here, the angel answered her in verse 35 and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I can't imagine what this young lady, the awe and the amazement and the excitement that she must have experienced. She was probably just an ordinary lady in a village, young lady, maybe she was 19 or 20 or 21. I don't know how old she was. And to have an angel appear to her, the angel Gabriel at that, and tell her that she's going to have a baby of the Holy Spirit, and he shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's take heart today. With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She embraced this. She believed this. She wholeheartedly called herself the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid is, I don't know, you can look it up. It's basically a servant, a female servant. And she just simply said that that's okay. I will do this. Now, that meant that she's going to walk around her village as an unwed woman with carrying a child. That meant for her that she would be found out of wedlock with a child. That meant that she was willing to suffer the reproach. And so that the body of Christ could be formed. And so it is with us. If we're going to be willing to form the body of Christ in truth, there is, if we're seeking to build something that's well spoken of, or rather, the testimony of Christ is surely well spoken of. But if we expect to do this with the approval of all men, and why we don't understand. Mary understood this very clearly, what this meant for her, when she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And when we come to him and say, "I'll go where you want me to go and say what you want me to say," that doesn't mean that there's an easy path ahead. There will be gossip and criticism and dishonor. And so it is when we have a desire to bring forth the body of Christ. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The Holy Ghost was upon her, and she was prophesying and praising the Lord. "For lo," verse 44, "as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And there will also be a performance of those things that are told us in the Holy Scriptures regarding our future if we cling to him. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." My soul doth magnify the Lord, she said. Verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done this to this. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Verse 50, "And his prophecy and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Now she's quoting scripture in Psalm 103. Verse 51, "He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." These are all the new dispensation of Jesus Christ. The rich are actually empty. The hungry can have good things. There's great treasure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to go down to find it. "He put the mighty down from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And then we read about the birth of John the Baptist, verse 57 through 66. And we read about what his father, Zacharias, said. And I won't read all of that, but after his birth, verse 74, Zechariah said that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Serving Jesus Christ without fear was the prophecy of Zacharias. And that prophecy, just as surely as those Old Testament prophecies that Jesus would come forth from a virgin, today that is available for you and I, that we can serve him without fear. That is available to each of us. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And I will go on here to the birth of Jesus in chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And I'm not sure why that word is used as taxed. Maybe there was a tax involved. But it was actually a census. In our country, we have a census here every so many years, and you get a form through mail, and if you don't fill it out, you get another one, and if you don't fill that one out, you get another one. And they finally tell you, if you don't fill this out, we will come to your door. And they do that. They very thoroughly, every country has done that through the years. In Caesar Augustus' day, a census doesn't just include the number of people. It wants all kinds of, they build the demographics of who's living in this land. Are they patriotic or not? What do they do for a living? How many males versus females? How many, what occupation do you have? And they build this, and they use that for many purposes when they read the financial and social health of the nation. But Caesar Augustus, in his day, he had it to where he asked that everyone go back to their birth city to be for this census. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That means their birth city, where they were born. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And as just a short verse here in verse 7, you can read more about it other places, but she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And do we think that night maybe they were frustrated? Maybe they were frustrated that they needed to go to Bethlehem when she was ready to have a baby. Maybe they were frustrated there was no inn, or tempted to be that frustrated. But God worked all that out in his divine providence so that the scriptures would come true. And he caused Caesar Augustus to make this odd stipulation that you have to go back to your birth city to be for the census. And all those things so that the prophet's words would come true. And then he's called a servant. He's called a servant. Jesus came to serve. He called himself a servant, and he was born in a manger. God could have easily kept a room open at that inn. He could have had 5-star accommodations for him in that city and be born in kingly fashion. But there was nothing. There were no fireworks. There was no celebration. There was no news media waiting there. It was in a manger. And that's how he came onto the scene, in a manger. And when he left, at the end, we find him washing his disciples' feet. A servant comes under those that they serve. We must remember that every day when we're serving our families, serving a customer, serving in whatever capacity. A servant comes under. We learned that from, we have the example of Jesus Christ. And when we doubt that and we fight that and when we resist that servant position, I wonder how many of us would be struck dumb if God would mark every murmuring sigh in our life. Verse 8 says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I don't know what the glory of the Lord looked like that shone around them. I don't know what that looked like. But it says they were sore afraid. It says they were terribly frightened. They were terrified. But he told them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Suddenly that host of the heavenly host, that the angel, the multitude of the heavenly host, rather, they were praising God. I can't imagine what that looks like, but I trust one day we will see. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. These things were all, they were all goodwill toward us. That's what it was. It was goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And then we go on here. Jesus, they took Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord and probably have him circumcised. And they went to the temple in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple." Verse 27, "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And you think of an old gray-bearded man whose eyes lit up and probably came over to Mary and Joseph with with youthful zeal, took this child. I heard Abner Kaufman say that once, and it inspired me greatly. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord," and he's ready to go home. And he's there now. He went home. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mothers marveled at those, and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of them. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And there again, those are verses out of Isaiah chapter 8. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts and hearts may be revealed." And there's many things that we could talk about those verses. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was in that temple for 84 years. It says that she didn't depart from it. She didn't depart from that temple. And she served God in there with fastings and prayers for 84 years. "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom." Waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we'll stop reading there, but there's that baby is no longer in a manger. That baby grew up, and he began the most consequential ministry in the history of the world. And they missed him. John saw him in Revelation. He said his eyes were as a flame of fire, the resurrected Christ. And he's still alive. Hebrews 4:13 says, "There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of whom we have to do." There is nothing that is hidden from him today. The God that can see the end from the beginning, the God who sees the future as clearly as the past, nothing escapes his sight. And one thing just a few things here in closing, the simplicity of how Jesus was ushered onto the scene. The wisest of men missed him. Yet you clearly read where they acknowledged that there's never anyone did anything like this. They clearly acknowledged him and they knew in their heart, but they rejected him because it just didn't fit. It just didn't fit today. And the question I have today is, in light of all the things that you and I experience, what am I missing today? Do present circumstances seem long and hard? What if God is working out a bigger picture in my life? The God who sees the end from the beginning. You think about the dark days of Moses in that basket. God saw the end of that. he saw this day while he was in that basket. Think about Daniel in captivity and Joseph in prison and John the Baptist in prison. Think about those things and the question, why? Why did it take so long, Lord, for Jesus? I believe we can answer that by saying that because God always, there needed to be a certain culmination of events. When Abraham went into when his descendants, you know, he prophesied that 400 years they would be there. Why so long? There's an answer to that. There's an answer to that because he said that the iniquity of the Amorites isn't complete until 400 years. Who knows what that means? But there's something that has to happen. There's a certain He wants a maturity of the time. And in the fullness of the time, things come about so that in Israel's case, when you look at the rise and the fall, and the rise and the fall, you see God extending grace. Them repenting and coming back, and then you see them falling, and you see them breaking the covenant over and over and over and again, and then they repented, and God had mercy, and then they disobeyed, and God had mercy, and they disobeyed, and God had mercy, and in the end, we can conclude with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 that. Their approach or their trying to serve the Lord in their own strength didn't work, and we need a redeemer. And there is no question, about after you look at the history of that, there is no question, and God wants us to see, He wants a certain chain of events to come about. And what then, in Romans 3, verse 9, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, and so on. You can read down through Romans 3. And you can conclude that this lengthy story of failures under the conditions that they had, God was able to make the point. That was the best possible way for God to make the point. And today, as we go on and you look at the remnant that received Jesus Christ, there was just a few. There was just a few at the birth of Christ. There was the shepherds. There was that humble young lady. There was called Mary and her husband Joseph. There was Simeon and Anna the prophetess. There were the shepherds. There was just a few. And today, there's a remnant waiting on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I trust that you are, most everyone in here is a part of that remnant that is waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And His word is true. His word is true, and His judgments are just, and they are on time. And we can trust His word, and we should seek to walk in faith before Him, in obedience, and in love. And remember that everything He does is in love. It's because of us. It's because of His desire to be with us, and our lack of realizing the great love that God has for us lies at the core of any most problems that we have. In Isaiah 49, God compares His love for us to a woman and her baby. Isaiah 49, verse 14 and 15. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And we would never say that with our mouth, but sometimes our lives maybe tell that that's what we think, that God has forgotten me. Verse 15 in Isaiah 49 says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can a woman do that? The answer is no, but some do. And he said, yea, they may forget. Some will, yet I won't. I would never. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And that is the testimony of God, of the God of heaven, whose eyes are going to and fro over the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong to those whose hearts are perfect before him. May we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, because we have a bright future in the Lord, because what he says will come to pass, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. God bless you.